Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. You know, God often uses the failures of characters in the Bible to illustrate to us the beauty of his character. We're going to explore that today with a couple of really neat characters. Let's get started. So often, the scripture shows us that the very things we think disqualify us or that give us doubts about ourselves or even God are the things that God shows, I will work with that. Let's say John 1:46, it says, "And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' Now Jesus, when he saw Nate approaching, said, 'Behold, an Israelite with no deceit.'" I paraphrase. We don't know a lot about his background or character, but we can certainly trust Jesus. Nate was a straight shooter. So when he doubted that anything good could come out of Jesus' hometown, it was an honest doubt. It was sincere. What was the nature or source of his doubt? Well, perhaps he had some personal history that prejudiced him, or maybe he'd heard so many bad reports from other people that he was entirely convinced. It could have been a social, religious, or even political deal, for history shows us that Nazareth did not have the greatest of reputations politically. Following the death of Herod the Great in 4 BC, the Roman armory in a town place called Sepphoris, that was about 4 miles from Nazareth, was robbed, and the Romans retaliated by crucifying 2,000 Jews as a disincentive to such revolts. Whatever the case, Nate was dead set against the notion that the Messiah could come from such a place. Now, his doubt wasn't born out of apathy. He doubted precisely because he cared about the coming of the Savior intensely. You see, he was evidently one who looked for the Messiah. His friend, Philip, was like-minded. Here's a story. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Well, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." That's from John chapter 1. Under the fig tree was a phrase rabbis used to describe meditation on the scriptures. And because of this, there's a lot of speculation about whether Jesus actually saw him or was referring to a spiritual observation. In either event, what mattered was that Christ's statement was like a trigger that ignited a bomb of sorts, blowing up Nate's doubt. Something about Nazareth had clouded Nate's mind, but Jesus brought in the light, swept away the clouds, and Nazareth was no longer an issue. You see, this is the doubt that many people hold to, who want the truth but can't get past the prejudice of their logic or the frustration of rabbit holes that turn up empty. Then there was Thomas, the disciple, also known as the twin, who was so adamantly a doubter that even today We can refer to someone who's doubtful as a doubting Thomas. Tom's character was a fervent and expressive one. When Jesus told his group of followers that he was headed to a little settlement close to Jerusalem in order to raise Lazarus from the grave, at a time when powerful Jews were wanting to kill him, the scriptures say, "Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" That's John 11:16. See, Tom was loyal and true to what he could see. Some speculate that he was called the twin because he looked so much like Jesus. But after the Lord's torture and crucifixion, he split from the rest of the disciples. We don't know why. But when the risen Christ appeared to the others in their hideout, he was missing, the only one. And when he returned, this is what happened. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." John 20:19-25. You can't help but sense Tom's offense. He may have thought, "Why did he appear when I'm gone, the only one missing?" Clearly, he was angry and perhaps feeling left out. His doubt wasn't simply because he couldn't see the Lord. I firmly believe the issue of the scars was an excuse. He was offended, feeling shunned and left alone. But God had a purpose in mind. This is the doubt that is emotional and based in hurt or disappointment. You know, I have 2 children of my own who have been through such a circumstance. When life is merciless and we experience bitter pain, and as a result, we are often missing when Christ shows up, it can seem like everyone else gets it. Everyone else is included. I mean, Thomas missed the giving of the Holy Spirit, though he got it later. But Jesus didn't exclude Thomas. Indeed, he had him in mind. Here's the story. "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.'" To both of these doubters, Jesus showed compassion and mercy and grace. As a consequence, each of these men uttered the greatest confessions of the New Testament. Read this in John 1:49. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And in John 20:28, "And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Both men followed Christ faithfully for the rest of their lives, even unto death. And perhaps Jesus had John in mind too, because it was this incident with Thomas that he says stirred him to write the Gospel of John. The scripture records at the end of John chapter 20, Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know, that's like us. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written," just like the one about Thomas, "that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Both these men were honest about their doubts. You can be too. God can handle them. In fact, he will work with them and blow them away.
Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.